festival of the Holy Name, which some of the devotees here attended, one of the presentations was feeling complete with the Holy Name. We have an annual event for the past 7-8 years during the 4th of July weekend, where the devotees, whoever can make it from the Midwest area, come to Chicago, and we have a celebration on various forms and manifestations of glorification of Krishna's holy name. One of the ones that I liked especially was a song that was, it's a really, really long song written by Bilva Mangala Thakur. Maybe at the end I'll just give you a sneak preview. It's just, so some of the teenage girls and college age girls who have musical skills, they put together a musical score and sang Govinda Madhava, Govinda Damodar Madhava, something like that. And just very, very, very nice. The music was nice. The whole mood was nice. The experience was very nice. That was a special treat for me. There's a few others. But one of them that many devotees appreciated, I even just received a letter today from someone who was sharing, you know, at the end of August, how their japa, their chanting of the holy name is still being benefited by that message, the message that's in this presentation. So, some have seen and participated in this discussion before, others haven't. The drawing is a drawing of Haridas Thakur. In the background is the dome of the temple in Jagannath Puri. Haridas Thakur was an associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to reside in Jagannath Puri after his acceptance of sannyas, many devotees also went to Puri to be with him, and Haridas was one of them. Haridas was officially known during Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's manifest pastimes as the Acharya for the chanting of the holy name. He chanted day and night, literally. For those of us that are initiated devotees, we take a vow to chant 16 rounds every day. So it's 108 beads, one Maha Mantra per bead, 108 of those is one round, and 16 rounds daily, around 2 hours, more or less. Some, often more than less. But Haridas Thakur, he chanted 3 times 64, 3 lakhs of names. So just do the math. It's, if you were to chant 16 rounds in 2 hours, it's 24 hours. So you must have chanted a little faster than 16 rounds per 2 hours. But in any case, he not only chanted the holy name, but he spoke about the glories of the holy name and the effect of the holy name and how to best chant the holy name. In fact, he's the speaker of a book written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur called Hari Nama Chintamani. Chintamani means mystical jewel, a touchstone, that whatever it comes in contact with, it becomes spiritualized. So the holy name spiritualizes the tongue, it spiritualizes the ear, it spiritualizes the heart. It spiritualizes our whole existence just by contact with the holy name. One of the places that I travel, I like very much visiting in China, and Just like we have our national holidays, that's the 4th of July, it's only 3 days. In China, any of you have Chinese people in your workplace? They work very hard, right? Like workaholic, work, very hard-working people. In China, there's 7 days where nobody works. That's their national holiday, celebrating Mao Zedong establishing People's Republic of China. So I spend time during those national holidays giving different seminars. This year it's going to be, it's October 1 through 7. I'm going to be speaking on Harinam Chintamani. The glories of the holy name, the offenses against the holy name, the stages of consciousness that evolved from chanting the holy name. It's very wonderful. Very small book, but very, very packed. So that's Haridas Thakur's picture, and the acharya for the chanting of the holy name. And the title of the presentation is drawn from the invocation mantra of Sri Ashopanishad. We're going to chant that together in a moment, so I won't. But the word Purnam appears multiple times in that mantra. Purnam means complete. A feeling complete with the holy name. So I'm going to begin, hopefully everything works here, with a couple of verses glorifying the holy name. The first one is coming from the writings of Jiva Goswami. He was one of the direct disciples and great acharyas in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He wrote an extensive commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, and it's called the Sandarbhas. And in the Tattva Sandarbha, there's one verse quoted from Skanda Purana. I'll just read. The name of Sri Krishna is the perfect fruit of the creeper of the entire Vedic Shruti. As stated in the Prabhas Kanda of Skanda Purana, there's the quote, O best of the Bhrigu dynasty, the holy name of Krishna is the sweetest of the sweet, the most auspicious of all of the auspicious. It is the transcendental fruit of all the Vedas and is purely spiritual. Whoever chants it but once, whether in faith, with faith or neglectfully, is liberated. Very special, the name of Krishna, the holy name. And another set of verses composed by, this is a painting of Rupa Goswami, in his writing and some pastime with Srimati Radharani directly. He wrote Namastakam prayers, and here's the first one. O Harinam, the tips of the toes of your lotus feet are constantly being worshipped by the glowing radiance emanating from the string of gems known as the Upanishads, the crown jewels of all the Vedas. You are eternally adored by liberated souls such as Narada and Shukadeva. O Harinam, I take complete shelter of you. So when we made this presentation in Chicago, we were inviting persons to chant as many rounds as they could within the time that was allotted. So the next slide indicates chanting 64 rounds. We call it 64 round day. We were inviting this meditation. We can experience completeness each and every day by taking the opportunity to connect with Krishna through his holy name deeply. So you'll see this slide again, because this is the theme of the presentation. So how to do that? That's like a bold declaration. We can experience completeness each day through the holy name. So there's, in Sri Ashopanishad, the principle of completeness is established. There are 108 principal Upanishads, and one of them, Srila Prabhupada made translation of verse and purport. Here's the verse, so let's chant it together. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnam Udachate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishate. The words highlighted in yellow is the word Purnam. It's obviously multiple times it's repeated. And the essence of, I'll read the translation and then we'll describe the essence of the verse. The personality of Godhead is perfect and complete. And because He is completely perfect, all emanations from Him, such as this phenomenal world, are perfectly equipped as complete wholes. Whatever is produced by of the complete whole is also complete in itself. Because He is the complete whole, even so, though so many complete units emanate from Him, He remains the complete balance. So there's several important messages embedded in this. This is revealing the absolute truth, as we know that the Vedanta Sutra, is searching for that which is the source of everything. So here in kind of a pronoun terminology, the complete, the source of everything is addressed as complete, or Purnam. And that original Purnam is so complete that so many complete units emanate from that original Purnam, but the original Purnam is not diminished in any way, but is still complete. Or 1 minus 1 equals 1. What? You get an F in your math if you say 1 minus 1 equals 1. But the original source of everything is so complete. Consider, do this little exercise. Try to think of something that's so big that you remove something from it and it's not diminished at all. No such thing in the material world. But however big it is beyond the conception of the mind to think of something that's so big. But that's the bigness or the completeness of the source of everything. And another part of this verse is the units that emanate from that original Purnam, they're also Purnam. They're complete in themselves. They're complete in themselves by design because they're from the complete whole. And the complete whole maintains them. We'll see that in the next verse. This mantra tells us that this world is already complete and perfect. And in the first three mantras, starting with the invocation, then the first three mantras, this completeness is indicated in this way. There's the principle of completeness. Then there's mantra one tells us how to practice in our lives within that picture of completeness or the sense of completeness. The second mantra two explains the result, the benefit that one derives by living one's life in that sense of completeness. And then the uh-oh part is what happens if you don't. The negative result of not living one's life in that way, with that sense of completeness. There are different aspects of this completeness. One is, of course, the source itself, and that's the absolute truth, the supreme absolute truth, source of everything. And then there's this phenomenal world that comes from the absolute truth. Then, of course, there's us because we live within this place. And then, most important in this whole picture of things is the complete arrangement of that absolute truth for the completeness of the phenomenal world and the living entities, that which emanates from the complete whole. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, the complete, there's partial sense of the Absolute Truth, and there's a complete sense of the Absolute Truth, and it has different aspects. It has a sat feature, the blue portion in that painting, that's the cover of First Canto Bhagavatam, by the way, painting. And the blue portion is the vastness of the spiritual sky, or the Brahma-jyoti. And that's eternally existing. Then, another feature described in Srimad Bhagavatam is the chit aspect of the Absolute Truth, and some persons realize the sat and chit aspect of the Absolute Truth by meditation upon Supersoul within. Yogis are accomplished at that. And they, so knowledge, the completeness of knowledge becomes accessible to them through Paramatma realization. So sat and chit aspects of the Absolute Truth, but additionally, Bhagavatam describes there's this feature of ananda, sachit ananda, where the Bhagavan feature is realized. And this Bhagavan feature includes the sat and chit feature. So sachit ananda vigraha. Our practicing devotees are very familiar with this invocation mantra, first mantra of Brahma Samhita. In fact, anyone that was attending these functions the last two evenings, we chanted Brahma Samhita verses, and it starts, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karanakaranam. So the Absolute Truth has these features that make the Absolute Truth complete. All knowledge, all pleasure, eternally existing in spiritual form. That's the Absolute Truth from which everything comes. And in the verse, the word idam is there, which Prabhupada has translated as this phenomenal world. The painting shows Mahavishnu, and Mahavishnu is lying on the Karana ocean, or the causal ocean, and from his body, golden seed-like universes, seeds of universes are emanating. They enter into the field of the material energy, or Mahatattva, and the universes start to conglomerate and expand. So this phenomenal world, those depicted by those bubble-looking things in the painting, those are, by the way, universes, and we're in one of those universes. This phenomenal world is also emanating from the complete whole. It has its own sense of completeness. And that's because everything is happening according to the will, the icha of the Supreme Lord. He has a plan for the creation to take place and for the maintenance of the creation. And because that plan is already there, we have a part to play, but extraneous arrangements are not necessary. The maintenance and subsistence is already available. In other words, if we engage in our proper dharma, according to our nature, our psychophysical nature, every soul, every human being is given a prescribed duty. And when we do that, maintenance is arranged. The sustenance that is required on an individual level and a big scale to a macro level, there's all the elements are provided within this Mahatattva. All the ingredients are required, everything that we need, and time energy is there. The Vedic picture, little embellishment here. The Vedic picture indicates that we don't have events, including creation, you know, the macro and the micro events do not happen without the influence of time. Or say it the other way. Influence of time is necessary for events, for the maintenance, for the sustenance, for the creation, for the dissolution. It's really simple. Just like pull the plug. The Supreme Lord withdraws the time energy. And when time energy is withdrawn, everything goes back, collapses into its elemental state. If you want creation to happen, you have to have a whole bunch of time energy. And you know, we know that Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Kalosmi, time I am. It's his energy, but it's so intimately connected with him, he says, time I am. Time is me, is Kala Shakti, his time energy. Helps make this phenomenal world arranged in a complete fashion. Then, in this other factor of completeness is the living entity. So many varieties and species of life are there. Facilities, especially in this human form of life, the facilities required for realizing the complete whole, our connection with the complete whole, our sense of completeness, it's already there. It's provided for us. And because the function of the part is to serve the whole. There's a verse in Bhagavad Gita, Mame Vamsa Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. The living entity, that's the Jiva. Living entity is the eternally Sanatana, the fragmental part of the whole. Same thing. The invocation mantra in Nishapanishad says, Krishna says it in reverse order in Bhagavad Gita. So what's the function of the part to the whole? A few very simple examples regularly Prabhupada would give. Here's a hand. The hand is useful, connected to the body. To make it really graphic, suppose we chopped a hand off, threw it in the middle of the floor. Yuck. Disgusting. And not useful. But you connect the hand to the body and it can do so many things. The functionality of the hand is to serve the whole, serve the body. Another very simple example. Supposing you have a machine or some device or some electronic doodad, and there's a screw missing or some small part missing, or your automobile, and it won't run. So you go to a parts place and you'll pay more than you should have to pay for that part, because without the part, the whole machine won't run. But if you see that little part, just, you know, a screw or a nut or a bolt or something just, you know, lying on the floor or in your drawer or something, you don't pay any attention to it at all. It's meaningless. Its value is its connection to the whole. So these are simple examples to indicate the completeness or the functionality of the part is to serve the whole. So when we engage in serving the whole, then we can experience our completeness. And that's the arrangement for us. There is a complete arrangement, and especially in this human form of life, for that sense of completeness, and then the means of experiencing that completeness is described in Bhagavad Gita. Through the yoga process, ultimately the topmost form of yoga, yoginam api sarvesham madgatenan taratmana, Krishna's language in Bhagavad Gita. The uttama form of yoga is this devotional service that's connecting the part to the whole. The connection through the linking process of bhakti. We serve the whole. Very simple. It's very logical. Now, there's a misfortune in life, and that is sometimes we're in this world, only sometimes, we're in this world because of forgetfulness of the Supreme. It's a place of forgetfulness. We've come to the material world because, I'm saying it to the third time, we come to the material world because we want to enjoy, parentheses, separate from Krishna. If we want to enjoy in relation to Krishna, there's the spiritual world. The material world is for persons who want to enjoy separately from Krishna. And to enjoy separately from Krishna, it starts with you forget him. You get covered by ignorance, and then you think there's enjoyment separate from Krishna. And when you think there's enjoyment separate from Krishna, this sense of incompleteness is experienced. So we struggle sometimes, if we're honest with ourselves, we struggle all the time, in trying to come to a sense of feeling completeness. So when that sense is there, there is a sense of being connected, a sense of understanding and being understood, a sense of love, really good communication. And it doesn't mean we give up the freedom of choice. It means you properly use your freedom of choice. And with that, you know, we don't give up our independence. There's a very nice description in the Bhagavatam about Narada Muni. Because of Narada Muni's full submission to the personality of Godhead, it's not that he's lost his independence. He has maximum independence. He can go anywhere. He doesn't need an airplane. He doesn't need a visa. Doesn't need anybody's permission. Zoom, zoom. Then he just goes wherever he wants to go. Playing on his veena. Radhika Ramana Namine, and there he goes to wherever he wants to go, in the spiritual or the material world. We're just reading about Narada Muni in the Bhagavatam, in the fourth canto section at the temple. He has all yogic siddhis. The verse that we read yesterday morning indicates that one of the places where he resides is Siddhaloka. Siddhaloka is in the 14 planetary systems, it's in the top one, number 14. It's like a satellite of Brahmaloka, or an outpost. And all the residents there have all mystic perfections. They also can travel here and there. But Narada Muni can travel even beyond this material realm. He can travel into the spiritual realm. He's actually known as Vaikunthavasi. He has a spiritual body. He hasn't lost his independence, is the point. He's properly used his independent will. Fullest, maximum sense of freedom and completeness. This is a topic unto itself. One of the presentations I've made at universities is authenticity of individuality, because college age people are finding their identity, searching for their identity, trying to make a statement of this is who I am, and it keeps getting edited a lot. Revised version of who I am. So how authentic is our sense of identity? In short, if one does not have a spiritual conception of identity, then it's going to be forever edited version, lifetime after lifetime, not only through one's college years, or one post-college years, or elderly years. It's, you know, the next lifetime and the next lifetime. But when the spiritual conception is in place, and with that spiritual conception, our connection with the Supreme, then our authenticity of individuality is fully manifest, and we feel whole. And all these other human activities. They're there in their fullness also. But in its in the most basic of all senses, who we really are. Spiritual conception. So this is just some of the list of what we struggle for in searching for completeness. And then there's the other side. When we're identifying ourselves separate from Krishna, any sense of asserting ourselves, we're at the center. When it's like, you know, the hand thinking we're independent from the body. Prabhupada tells this little story also. The hand, once upon a time, the hand thought, why does all this food have to go to the stomach? I want to enjoy independently. But the hand is not meant to enjoy independently. So after some time, not only the hand becomes weak, the whole body becomes weak, because that's not the function. The hand is supposed to give food to the stomach, which then distributes the nourishment through all the body, including the hand. The benefit to the hand goes by serving the whole, not by independent action. So when we try to assert ourselves, our individuality, our identity, it ends up selfish and not seeing the complete picture of things, but, you know, gathering as much as we can of what's out there, thinking it's up for grabs, I want to make it mine and then I'll be happy. And relationships end up like that also. There's this never-ending pursuit for feeling complete because we've missed the point, we missed the boat. So there's this big vacuum, the Krishna vacuum, the Krishna-shaped vacuum. And dushparena analena cha, Krishna says, it burns like fire. Never satisfies and burns like fire. However much fuel you put in the fire, it just makes it hotter. Struggling and striving for that sense of completeness. And not only in this life, in the next life also. Birth after birth. Birth after birth. So it's not an inviting picture. Here's a statement that Prabhupada makes in Ishopanishad. Illusory representations of completeness. We must make efforts to utilize the resources of nature to create a so-called complete life of sense enjoyment in material consciousness. Illusory representations of completeness cannot fully satisfy us. This is taken from the invocation mantra purport. Then he writes this really wonderful statement. All forms of incompleteness are experienced due to incomplete knowledge of the complete whole. Here's a lecture that Prabhupada gave in London speaking on this point. I'll read it slowly because it's so nice. So, this is the technique of Krishna consciousness, that if you learn how to love Krishna, then you will love everything. Otherwise, your love will be localized and you'll be frustrated. It is most scientific. And our process is very simple. Chant Hare Krishna. That's all. Krishna. And Krishna's name, none different. So chanting Hare Krishna means you're associating with Krishna. That means you're directly in touch with the root of everything. So by advancing in love for Krishna, you can love your society, your country, your community, your family, your husband, your wife, your children, your friend, everything, complete. Purnam. Purnamadak, Purnamidam, Purnat, Purnam, Udachate, Purnasya, Purnam, Adaya. And that love will never be ended. Purna. Love of Krishna is so complete that you go on distributing this love. It will never be expended. it will remain the same. So that's the sense of completeness and connection with loving service to Krishna brings about that completeness. So I asked La Gopal, where's La Gopal? Yeah, the paper. Okay, we're going to do a little exercise. Personal exercise, pens and paper. I'm going to ask you to look at these two questions, and this is introspection, reflection time. There's four questions. And I'll just flip back and forth between these two slides a few times. The purpose is for you to look within yourself, and you know, it's not just for yourself. We're not going to get a pass or fail mark on this. How do you feel most incomplete, and what are the imperfections that you most sorely feel about yourself? Then what do you do to try to fill these imperfections or needs in a material way? And then what are the problems caused when you use a material way to feel complete? This is application introspection time. So again, how do you feel most incomplete? What are the imperfections that you most sorely feel about yourself? How do you try to fulfill these imperfections or needs in a material way to feel complete? And then there's problems that arise from that. In June, I attended a japa retreat in Seattle. And because we had more time, we spent a little time with, you know, the person next to you, or, you know, a little somebody you can share with and hear from them and you share with them, kind of thing. Tomorrow's a school day and a work day, so we won't do that. But maybe when you're taking prasadam, you can share with somebody if you like. The sharing is nice. The devotees are amazing how they can open up their hearts and know what's going on inside and share it very honestly. You know, recognizing another's honest struggle is is encouraging to see the honesty and the integrity of individuals to acknowledge their struggles. Then the solution. The theme of this presentation is through association with Krishna, through devotion to Krishna, specifically chanting his holy name awakens devotion for Krishna, then that sense of completeness is something that we can directly experience, that which we want to experience can be experienced directly through the holy name. There's this nice verse, it's quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita, but where it's from is Padma Purana, and it's where the title Harinam Chintamani comes from. Nama Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, there's the word Purna again. Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukto Abhinitvam Nama Namino. The last line is, we've already spoken about the name, Nama, has this quality of Abhinna. It's non-different. Abhinatvam, having the quality of non-difference between the name and the object named. Nama and Namino. And that's not true for something material. Something material. If I say the classic, water, 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 it doesn't quench my thirst because the word and the object are different. But when you say Krishna, 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 the word and the object are the same because of the absolute nature. Krishna and his name are non-different. Abhinatvam nama namino. And purna shuddho is completely pure. Nitya mukto. On the transcendental platform, always, Krishna never becomes contaminated. His name never becomes contaminated. You can take Krishna's name into a filthy place, into the bathroom, and chant Krishna's name, and you'll become purified. Krishna doesn't become contaminated. You can't take a Vedic sacrifice into the bathroom. It's a dirty place. But the name of Krishna is Purna Shuddha. It's complete and completely pure. So that makes us also pure by contact with the completely pure. It makes us feel the sense of completeness by contacting the complete whole. That's the message here. Here's the translation. The holy name of Krishna is transcendentally blissful. It bestows all spiritual benedictions. For it is Krishna himself, the reservoir of all pleasure. Krishna's name is complete. And it is the form of all transcendental mellows. It is not a material name under any condition. And it is no less powerful than Krishna himself. Notice I put those in big letters. Since Krishna's name is not contaminated by the material qualities, there is no question of its being involved with Maya. Krishna's name is always liberated and spiritual. It is never conditioned by the laws of material nature. This is because the name of Krishna and Krishna himself are identical. So I think we'll end with just inviting a meditation. We'll have a kirtan at the end. And you can meditate on this same message. We can experience completeness by taking the opportunity of connecting with Krishna through his holy name. No matter what kind of incompleteness we may be experiencing. Sometimes it's greater, sometimes it's lesser, depending upon the challenges of life, depending upon so many material factors. But when the connection with Krishna is awakened, is alert, that the sense of completeness is experienced. I just shared this with you. Just today, I received a very eloquent, nicely written letter from a teenage girl who, guess what, she struggles with teenage stuff, believe it or not. And one of her realizations with this long, soul-searching letter was the bottom line is, if I can stay connected with Guru and Krishna, then the struggle is easy to handle. And when that connection becomes like weakened or eclipsed, boy, do I struggle. And she's very honest about what her struggles are. We each have our variety of struggles, our sense of incompleteness. But whatever that sense of incompleteness is, no matter what it is, through the holy name, chanted with faith, that sense of connection is established, and The arrangement for our completeness is there. So let's do this. I mean, normally what we do at this stage is have some question-answer discussion, but let's just have a little kirtan again. A meditative melody doesn't have to be, you know, fast. Just meditate on this message when we have kirtan. And then we'll have a little discussion. Yeah.